It started 21 years ago because we thought that there was a need. It was very strong 21 years ago, and it is still extremely strong today, to offer to the poor people who live in, on the street a possibility of finding addresses that are useful for them. We were able to gather addresses at that time that were known only to the poor. But of course, each one of them knew one or two, and there was a need of collecting them all. So we started that, the first, and the title is Where? Where to eat, where to sleep, where to wash yourself. And the idea is to give to all the poor a collection of addresses, useful addresses where they can go in order to find help and support.
In your experience, these guides, are they popular on the streets?
Oh, extremely popular. We published thousands and thousands of them. This is only Rome. The first one was very basic. But as time passed, the poor told us how to do it. For example, this book is published with waterproof paper. So if it rains and if it's wet, it does not destroy itself. And there is a map which is completely waterproof. And this enables the poor to find their way in a city which has become very difficult for them to live in.
Waterproof because they get wet, because they often don't have an umbrella, they don't have a shelter, so everything they have gets wet. That's, of course, it's a very important idea. It's in Italian, the book I have seen. Do you produce it in any other languages as well?
Not in Rome, of course, but many other. I mean, we started 21 years ago, and we have continued ever since. I mean, thanks God, there were many who copied us. And this is, we have no copyright on this book. And many in Rome and in Italy, of course, and also all over Europe and in other countries of the world as well, have copied the book, and in different languages, of course. We have some in German, for example. We have them in Dutch for Belgium and the Netherlands. We have them in French. But they're, of course, they're local. These are local guides. These are really Michelin Guide of the Poor. But the Michelin Guide of the Poor comes from I think it was Newsweek, who published an article on this booklet some years ago, calling it the Michelin Guide of the Poor. And ever since, this has been the name which has been given to the book.
How does it find its way into the pockets of the poor?
They pass the word around. And of course, this is distributed to all the centers of the community, and this is distributed freely to everyone who wants it, parishes, mostly the parishes. The Catholic Church is still one of the major, the major charity entity in the city of Rome. So parishes are full of these books, because the poor go to the parishes when they need help.
In 21 years, obviously, the number of poor in the city must have changed, but also their identity. Can you give me an idea of who they are today?
Look, I think that we are facing an archipelago. I mean, numbers of islands of poverty in a city like Rome. Let me say, there are a huge number of people who are the homeless. The majority would be immigrants or foreigners who are both homeless or live in very, very bad housing conditions, shacks at most, board houses. Then we have homeless, Italian homeless, who are really homeless. I mean, in the classical homeless, those who live on the sidewalk. And they're not a big number, but we are talking about thousands in Rome of people who have no home at all. Then we are talking about families. We see this because we have a soup kitchen that we run every day and welcomes thousands of people every day. And we have seen a growing number of families coming to eat at the soup kitchen, which was totally unknown before. The economical crisis has hit hard. And we think that at least 19% of the Italians are below the poverty line, which means that one every five Italian is extremely poor or cannot make it at the end of the month. To this, we have to add a huge number of old people. The elderly are the new poor of our society. And we're calculating in Italy 30 million elderly people who are at risk. Of course, we cannot say that all of them are extremely poor, but they're all at risk because the line between poverty and extreme poverty is very thin. An old person who becomes non-self-supporting anymore is immediately an extreme poor because he ends up in a retirement home, one of those very bad retirement homes that unfortunately our system still produces.
Do the elderly come to your addresses as well? Do you see a lot of old people, or are they hidden away in their homes in dire conditions?
We have seen a growing number of elderly coming to the soup kitchen and to our centers. We have a center, for example, nearby, near here, Trastevere, where we distribute food for those who have a house, while the soup kitchen normally serves those who do not have a house. And there we see a lot of elderly. Of course, the majority of the elderly would remain in their homes and suffer in silence. This is why Sant'Egidio has began a service in the homes of the elderly. So the major service of our community is not that of welcoming them in our centers or not even in our houses. We have houses for elderly, but we can only serve a very small number. But it's going there where the elderly are and helping them remain at home even if they're sick. This is the way to help them remain within a family, within a human family, even if it's not their own, recreating a human family around them.
Because they don't have state help when they're sick in their homes, do they? They're left very much to themselves.
Well, there is state help. You know, Italy has state help, but the amount of state help is extremely limited. And
the pension
is extremely limited. I think it's impossible for a person to live on 500 euro a month. It's impossible. And that's why at the end of the month, we see old people beginning to come to the soup kitchen. So, I mean, the last 10 days of the month are the moments in which the old people began to come. I think that this is a new phenomenon, which is not only European or Italian. We are witnessing the same problem, for example, in Africa. The problem of the old people was not a problem in Africa in the past. But the crisis has hit hard there too, and it appears as if anyone who is not self-sufficient or is not able to support himself has become a burden. The old people are the future of our society. We cannot only consider our society a society of young people. And I think they are definitely one of the great challenges for the Catholic Church today. Addressing the spiritual and physical need of the elderly is a great challenge that we are trying to face, and I think we should face much more, even as a church.
We're coming up to Christmas, and every year Sant'Egidio is famous for its Christmas meal for the poor. Is that going to happen this year?
Of course. This is also another tradition that it's a little bit longer than this booklet. Every year at Christmas, after the last Mass on Christmas Day, at 1 o'clock, we prepare inside the Church of Santa Maria in Trastevere, but now, of course, all over the city. I mean, I think that there will be hundreds of places where this happens. We prepare a meal for the poor. I think that Christmas, you know, there is a passage in the Gospel, there was no place for Jesus in the inn. And I think that we have to witness the fact that there is place for those that Jesus considers his little brothers on Christmas Day. And that's why we gather all our poor friends on Christmas Day and celebrate with them the best meal of the year. I mean, it's a luxurious meal. I mean, in a luxurious place. I mean, especially Santa Maria in Trastevere with the mosaic. But that is to witness that we want to say to this world that says that the poor have no place, we want to say that for us, the poor are and have the central place.
Last year you had the company of Pope Benedict XVI, if I'm not mistaken. What's going to happen this year? The usual?
It will be the usual. And of course, last year was very special. I mean, having the Pope with us, it was really, really special. It was the first time in modern time that a Pope ate with the poor. And he ate with 200 of them in our soup kitchen. It was really special. And I think that he expressed what we wanted. We have always felt, so in a way, it just confirmed the deep feeling of our community, which is that the poor are really the treasure of the Church. Using an old wisdom of the Church, the poor are the treasure of the Church. And I think that they are our treasure. They have been our treasure all along. Saint Egidio was born in 1968 with, as a group of high school students. And we could have really dissolved to be nothing if we didn't have the poor with us. The poor have been our salvation. And the poor have been our angels, as Professor Riccardi, the founder of Saint Egidio, said to Pope. The poor have been our angels because they are guardian angels, because they have kept us from becoming different from what we are today. They kept us from becoming part of this world that doesn't like them. And I think that we really owe a lot to the poor.
That's a very revolutionary vision.
Oh, no.
It
is turning things upside down, but definitely, I mean, it is not us who says it, it's the gospel itself who says it. And definitely, if we really think the poor have given us much more than we have given them. Personally, they've given it to me. My service in the community is I work in a place where there are 15 people who are terminally ill. It's a hostel. And when you talk with these people, you realize that everything in your life has to be put in perspective. I mean, my life is so rich compared to all or to anyone of their life. And I complain. None of us should complain. This is something that I believe it has to be in a society, in a world where everybody complains for himself, where the center is a myself. You meet people who are almost dying, who understand the real truth, that the real truth is the fact that life is not for themselves, and they don't live for themselves. So if I am the rich, the healthy, the wealthy, the able person, can cry on myself, what should they do? On the contrary, they don't do that. So I think that they're continuous teaching. That is a living gospel, I would say, that tells us where the real truth is in a world that doesn't want to see truth.